Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today's episode of the All Angels podcast is brought to you by SportsDrink, your digital water cooler. SportsDrink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They are here to help us grow and hate your favorite team. A rising tide floats all boats, so go check them out online and on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in at SPRTSDRNK. Spelled like sports drink without the vowels.
Oh, got it! Got it! Got it! 33! Center field, Marsh leaps, and he got it!
It normally
high fly ball deep left field. Oh, 27 does it again
for this year.
Wall sends it well out to left center field, and it's gone. He went to Jared.
Way
diving catch, Joe Adell.
This is Brandon Marsh, the Los Angeles Angels baseball. You listen to All Angels podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the All Angels podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Garcia. So first off, I hope you guys have had an opportunity to listen to the previous episode I put out Sunday morning with Bill Shakin from the LA Times, talking about everything going on with Angel Stadium, the buying and selling of the land, what's going on with the city, the mayor, all that stuff. So if you haven't checked it out, it's the episode before this one. I highly recommend checking it out because there is a lot of information in there about what's going on with the stadium. If they're going to get a new stadium, when that will be, are they going to move? Are they not going to move? Like, we answer a lot of those questions, or we try to at least answer a lot of those questions in that podcast. So definitely check it out. Definitely download and give that one a listen. It's a little quicker of an episode. I think it's just around 30 minutes long. So now let's move forward to this weekend's games. Obviously, coming off the sweep against the Texas Rangers in Texas isn't what the Angels wanted to do last week. But they are now home. They are now taking on the last place Oakland A's. So if there was any team to try to get back in the swing of things, this is definitely the team to do it. So on Friday, you had Chase Silseth coming back out on the mound at Angel Stadium for his second career start in the big leagues. And if you remember correctly, his first outing against the same Oakland A's went really well. You couldn't really find a weakness in the spot, going six innings, giving up one hit that ultimately led to a win against Oakland. So obviously, coming off of that sweep, a lot of people were hoping for the same type of thing on Friday night. But unfortunately, with the third batter of the night, Jed Lowrie puts the A's up early with his second home run of the year, making it 1-0. The Angels would end up tying it at 1 in the bottom of the first when Anthony Rendon would single in Shohei Ohtani off of Paul Blackburn, who, like I mentioned in the last podcast where we kind of previewed this game, or two podcasts ago actually, now Paul Blackburn has been the main pitcher, that the top of the rotation pitcher for the A's, even though Frankie Montas is still there, but performance wise he has definitely been the top guy in that rotation. And in the bottom of the third, Mike Trout continue his MVP type season with a double that ends up scoring Taylor Ward, making the score 2-0. You know what? And actually, Chase Silseth, getting back to him a little bit, had an actually really, really good game. He didn't get out of the fifth inning this time, and that's mostly because in the top of the fifth, Seth Brown would hit a two-run home run to give the Oakland lead 3-2, and that would be it for Silseth. But again, his second outing, and I honestly do wonder if this outing against the same team who's seen him before, who now can remember what pitches did what and all that stuff, if that was an advantage or disadvantage for him. If he was facing like Seattle or the Rangers or someone else, I wonder if the results would be any different. But Silseth still went 4 1/3 innings, giving up 6 hits, 3 runs, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks, and 2 home runs. So definitely a guy that I believe you will see more of in the rotation. Has he necessarily locked down that sixth spot in the rotation? I'm not 100% sure on that, but I do feel confident that he will be one of those guys in the mix with Jose Suarez, with Jonathan Diaz, with, you know, obviously more and more guys are going to be developing throughout the year, and you could possibly see him. So we'll have to kind of wait and see about that. But he definitely had a good second outing. Didn't get the results he was hoping for if you compare it to the first one. But considering it's the second outing in his career, I think he did very well for the Angels. So like I mentioned, after the fifth inning, Oakland would take the lead 3-2, and they would not look back. They would actually end up adding one more in the top of the sixth off of Kyle Bearclaw. It was a sac fly and made the score 4-2. And the biggest story I felt, as far as when you looked at Twitter around, go around Twitter at the end of this game, was the strikeouts, was the Angels strikeouts, the Angels' lack of swinging the bat, especially during this game. You look at the stats, you see strikeouts racking up 13 of them in one game, 3 coming from Ohtani, 3 coming from Walsh, and 2 coming from Trout. So you are having your main guys, the guys who you're looking for to produce offensively, striking out more than once in this game. It's definitely not a way you want to win the game. But like I posted this on Twitter shortly after the game when I saw there was a bunch of talk about the Angels striking out loud. And granted, they do. I'm not saying they don't, or it's a figment of people's imagination, because you look at the stats and, you know, numbers don't lie, and they definitely have been striking out quite a bit. But after the game, if you looked online and looked at the Major League stats, yes, the Angels were striking out the most in Major League Baseball, but they also at the time had the ninth highest average. Again, this is Major League, not just American League. This is the whole league. Second in home runs with 55. Third in on-base plus slugging with 740. And second in hits with 335. So it's kind of, I don't necessarily know if them being picky with pitches they swing at. Yes, I can see how that can lead to striking out more, but I don't know necessarily that also might lead to their offensive production, as far as, you know, they are waiting for mistakes, and it does seem like the mistakes are coming and they're taking advantage of it. But if you face a good pitching staff or a good pitcher that doesn't make a ton of mistakes, then yeah, I can see how the strikeout numbers could be up. So I don't know how to read into those strikeout numbers. If you look at the offense as a whole, not just the strikeout numbers, but like I mentioned, on-base plus slugging, hits, home runs, it's still a very good offense. And I don't necessarily know what the correlation is. You know, yes, traditionally strikeout teams that strike out the most are the teams that do the worst. But in the age of everyone striking out and teams not really caring if you strike out, I don't necessarily know if it's the worst thing in the world to strike out the most in Major League Baseball if you're continually putting up these power numbers that the Angels are. So I personally would not worry too much about the strikeout numbers as long as the other numbers continue to hold stead where they're at, as far as, you know, top third in Major League Baseball. So I know that was a big conversation coming out of the Friday game, was how much they're striking out. And yes, they are striking out a lot. And yes, that is frustrating for fans, especially when you have runners in scoring position. But at the same time, and we talked about this, I don't know, probably a handful of podcasts ago, but there is always an opportunity when the ball's put in play for something to go right, and there's always an opportunity for when the ball's put in play to go wrong, especially when there's someone on base, mostly a double play. So I don't know how many of those strikeouts happen with someone on first base, but if they did, I guess sometimes you have to think the alternative is you make weak contact on a pitch that you know you can't do anything with, and now it turns into two. So that's kind of where I'm at with the whole strikeout situation. Yes, the number's huge, and yes, it is frustrating to see it play out in front of you as a fan on TV or in person, but when you look at the picture as a whole, the offense doesn't seem to be struggling at all because of it, and you know, at times, I'm sure there's plenty of opportunities where that can turn into a double play that will ultimately hurt the team even more than just a single strikeout. But Angels end up dropping this game 4-2. And another big factor in this game, but something that happened in this game was Taylor Ward going back to make a great catch at the wall and absolutely running head first into the wall. If you watch the play out on TV, he hit that wall very hard. And if you've ever been out in an outfield wall, major league, minor league, any field that's at that level, those pads are there, but they don't do a whole lot to slow someone down who's going full speed or close to full speed to catch a ball like Taylor Ward was doing. There was a chances like when the Angels would do the 5K, a lot of times they would have you run on the outside of the field. You go into the stadium and you run the outside of the field sometimes. And just running that and stopping for like a second and kind of leaning into those walls just to kind of see how much gives on there, there's not a lot at all. There's not. So he ended up getting hit, and this is late in the game. This was, I believe, in the 7th or 8th inning. And you can see, too, his hat that he hit all bent up. It took a big brunt of that full steam ahead into the wall. But he'd be taken out of the game, and he would not be a factor the rest of this series. So obviously a huge, huge part of the Angels' offense out for the rest of the series. So not only did you get a loss on the scoreboard, but now you're might possibly your best offensive player so far this season is out and not sure for how long. So at this point, Angels have dropped 4 in a row, and I think a lot of people were jumping ship or at least just thinking to themselves, oh, the same old Angels will end up being 500 in no time, or we'll be below 500 in no time, and it's just going to be play out the same way as it always has. But I, like I mentioned before, after the sweep, I truly believe the Angels were on an unreasonable, realistic pace of winning. I think at the height, they were on pace to win 106 games, and that's not who this team is. This team is good, but it would be hard for me to find anyone out there that, before the season started, thought this team was going to win 106 or 105 games. So Angels still are able to produce offensively coming into this series, and sometimes it just takes a little bit to get going. So with that, let's go to Saturday night's game. This game, again, against Oakland, for the second time in a week, Michael Lorenzen starts on Saturday night against the A's. And remember last time it was up out in Oakland on a doubleheader, but Lorenzen gets the start in this game. And scoring would take a little bit to come about in this game. The first scoring opportunity the Angels took advantage of was when Renjifo hits his first home run of the year to give the Angels a 1-0 lead.
That one's hit to left field, hit well. Going back on it is Barrera. And Luis Renjifo puts the Angels on the board.
And it would stay that way all the way to the bottom of the 6th, where Brandon Marsh walks with the bases loaded to score Shohei Ohtani to make the score 2-0. At this point, you're trying to take runs wherever you can. So very good job for Brandon not to try to force something. Let it come to you. Ends up getting walked. Ends up getting that RBI. Ends up putting the score up 2-0. The very next batter would be Luis Renjifo, and he would score Mike Trout on this chopper to the pitcher.
Well, that's a chopper. That's going to be a run and a play. Run number 1,000 for Mike Trout. RBI for Renhifo.
So Luis taking advantage of players out of position, but not only that, you heard it in the clip, Mike Trout's 1,000th run scored with the or in his career, but obviously all of them with the Angels. Only the second Angel, I believe, to ever do that. So again, it just seems like every time we're talking about Ohtani, you know, history is being made. And now we're getting to the point of Trout's career, great career with the Angels, that something like this happened. We had, you know, a couple weeks ago, the most home runs at Angel Stadium. Obviously, what was it, last year, I believe, where he passed Tim Salmon for the all-time home run leader as an Angel. It just seems like every time Mike Trout does something crazy, it's a new record for the Angels. So a lot of history going on right now with Shohei and Mike Trout, and it's really, really cool to see. So Michael Lorenzen really, really had it working. There were chances where he was getting into trouble, but he was getting out of it. And I think that's the biggest difference. And I believe I said this numerous times on the podcast. That seems like the biggest difference between this team and other teams in the past is that when they get into trouble, they are able to get out of it now. Not necessarily making it super clean, you know, maybe get a run here and there, but they don't let it snowball to a 5-run inning or anything like that. And that's exactly what Michael Lorenzen did. He got into a little bit of trouble, but he was able to get out of it. He ended up going 6 innings, giving up 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. So ever since his and I mentioned this after the Detmers no-hitter, ever since Michael Lorenzen had that great game out in Chicago, the next one was a dud. I don't necessarily know, like I mentioned, if he was tired or just because he's never done that as much as a guy who predominantly came out of the bullpen. But he had that one dud. But ever since then, he's been going lights out, and the Angels have been taking full advantage of it. And the Angels would not be done scoring yet as Andrew Velasquez comes up with one on and does this.
Driven left field. Andrew Velasquez gives that one a run. Saddle up. That one's gone. His second home run of the year. 2-run job.
And that would be his second home run of the year. So after Michael Lorenzen was out, you had Tapera come in with a clean inning. And then Aaron Loop came in and ran into some trouble. He ended up going 2/3 of an inning, 3 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk. So obviously what that very comfortable lead was after the Velasquez home run 5-0 quickly turned into a really tight game, now 5-3. And it just seems like the bullpen arms, I'm not really worried about. It just seems like they're all kind of going up and down at their own time. And it seems like they're all at the same time. I think Loop will work through it. I don't think it's a big deal. You remember Tapera, he had a rough outing before too. He seems to be worked through it. Iglesias had a very hard time, couple games, giving up walk-off home runs. He is now seems to be getting back to the Iglesias that we know and signed and loved last year, because in this game, he comes in for the save and he goes 1 inning, 2 strikeouts on 9 pitches, efficient. And the Angels end up winning 5-3, snapping that 4-game losing streak and getting some momentum going into the Sunday game. And that's what they really needed to do. You had great pitching performances by Lorenzen. You had Iglesias being Iglesias. And the cool part was the primary offense in this game was from your two middle infielders. And we've talked about this team and how their offense is kind of spread around with Ohtani, Ward, Trout, Rendon, Walsh. But the one that was kind of lacking was the middle infield. And it's cool to see those two guys, Velasquez and Renhifo, come in and be the main source of offense in this game, showing that every once in a while they will produce big-time runs. They will be responsible for big-time runs. Velasquez, I said this before, I don't know how many times, he is a gold glove caliber defensive player. you get any kind of offensive production from him, it is going to make a world of difference. And you're starting to see that now. The more and more he gets at bats, it seems like the more and more he gets comfortable. His average and his numbers are slowly starting to tick up. I think now he's I got to see how he was after the Sunday game. But at this point, his average was getting pretty close to that 200 mark. And granted, yes, 200 isn't what your goal is, but from when you were down so far like he was, you have to make little baby milestones first. First is let's get to 200, then let's get to 215, then let's get to 230s. But like I said, I do believe his bat will come around. He'll never be a primary offensive player like you see a Correa or Story or any of those guys that have played shortstop at an offense and played at a very high offensive level. But with his defense, I believe he'll stay in this lineup and be really, really important on the defensive side of the ball. And every once in a while, you'll get a game like this out of him. And Renifo, we know him. Offensively, he always seemed to be able to put it on or at least contribute is the defensive part that we always a little bit worry about. But great to see the contributions coming from those two guys in the middle infield. So with the split 1-1, now the question is, can the Angels win on Sunday? So going into Sunday afternoon baseball, Angels have an opportunity to take the series against the Oakland Athletics at home. And remember, you can tie on the road, and I know getting swept isn't tying, but if you look at that whole road trip, they only dropped one game throughout the whole road trip, so it's not terrible. But now that you're home, you got to win at home, and the first step of doing that is taking 2 of 3 from the Oakland Athletics. So they had Patrick Sandoval on the mound once again on Sunday against the Oakland Athletics. So again, he's been a guy that when he is on, when Patrick is on, he is slowly becoming one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball, one of the best pitchers on this staff for sure. It seems like when his feel is there, he's unhittable. It's just you have to kind of watch him the first couple innings and see where he's at. And guess what? On this game Sunday, he had it. He had all of it, all his pitches, all his command, all the feel. He was dominant. But in the bottom of the first, he would get some breathing room with this Shohei Ohtani bomb.
And he drives that one center field. That one is hit well. Saddle up. Gone. Long gone for Ohtani.
So with the score still 1-0 in the bottom of the first, after absolutely roping a double in the first inning, Mike Trout comes up and gets an RBI.
Ground balls. That could have beat the shift. You got Mike Trout hustling. That's going to be an RBI single, infield single for Trout. Suzuki comes in to score after all, 2-0 Angels.
That'll make it 2-0. And obviously, you could take runs any way you can. And it showed in that last game where Brandon Marsh took a walk with the bases loaded to get an RBI. But on Sunday, he was able to get one the old-fashioned way. And guess what? Either way, it looks like a line drive in the scorebook.
Well, maybe that's possible flair. It is. Mike Trout on the move. 1,001. RBI single for Marsh with two outs. Big add-on run, 3-0.
The Angels keep pouring it on, and more specifically, Mike Trout keeps pouring it on with an incredible game capped off by this home run.
Well, he saw something that he liked. Mike Trout staring that one down. It is gone! What a game for Trout!
With that home run, the Angels go up 4-0. And obviously, that is plenty for Patrick Sandoval on this day. He ended up going 7 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. Again, he was on. He could have very easily at one point, I really did think he was going to finish this game. There was a few innings in there where he only threw like 9, 10, or 11 pitches. Like, he was at a very manageable pitch count. And he still technically was, I think, for this game, especially with a day off the next day. He did all this on 92 pitches. So I really did think he was going to get out of the eighth. But Madden decided with one out to go to Tapera Which, if you look at the last game, he had a really good last game, really quick inning too, which I think was part of it. And remember, Angels are off Monday when you're listening to this, so I'm sure a lot of that had to do with his next two bullpen selections. And the first one, obviously, Tapera. And he would have a great inning going out of the rest of the inning, getting those two outs on two strikeouts. I think, remember, this bullpen is going to drive this team. This bullpen it's what's going to keep this team in contention and honestly probably put them, you know, deep into the playoffs. It's everyone's healthy, especially once Archie Bradley, Austin Warren, and some of these other guys that are in the minor leagues getting back develop and are able to contribute. This bullpen is going to be really, really good. And for the ninth, the top of the ninth, Rossell Iglesias comes in and obviously shuts it down, going for the full inning. Zeros across the board except for three strikeouts. And this outing by him against the Athletics, he looked probably the most dominant he's looked all season long. And probably, honestly, the last couple seasons long with the Angels. And I wonder in the back of my head if that walk-off home run by the Athletics, you know, when they were in Oakland, was in the back of his mind the last two outings, the one on Saturday night and the one on Sunday, because he looked great on those two outings, almost like he had something to prove, not only to maybe himself, but to the Athletics, saying, no, that was lucky. No, you're not going to be able to get that kind of a home run off of me again for the rest of the year. So comes in, he locks down the last two games of the series, Saturday and Sunday. Angels end up winning 4-1, and they win the series 2-1. Over the three-game series, the Athletics were held to very minimal offense, scoring, six total runs for the three games. So that showed the pitching was on point this series. Offense ended up scoring, 13 runs total over three games. Again, offense will be coming around. Offense still is, to me, something that's going to be coming, you know, hit or miss or coming and going as you were. But this series, they really showed up and they really showed out. And this brings into a whole bunch of momentum, hopefully going in to the day off on Monday. Hopefully they don't lose it. And then into a quick two-game series against the Texas Rangers in Anaheim. And if they win those two games, they should win those two games. You're going to have a good amount of momentum going into the very difficult Toronto Blue Jays. So we'll talk a little bit about the series coming up, and we're going to talk a little bit about some rehabs that happened this last weekend at Inland Empire 66ers. So hold on. We'll be right back after this. Let me talk about our next sponsor, ColorCast. ColorCast is a live, audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and free to use. Talk to fans, athletes, and interact in real time, perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. All you need to do is download the ColorCast app, free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile and link your Twitter. That's all. Come with your spectacular takes. So something Saturday night was pretty cool. Me and Chris went down to Inland Empire 66ers. If you follow us on our social media page, you saw we were in the dugout with the 66ers pregame and during the game. Got some very good video of some celebrations, some pregame. All that stuff is on our social media stuff, Halo_Haven on Twitter and on Instagram. It is still there. A couple videos actually blew up a lot more than I thought they were when I posted, especially on Twitter. But it was just a fun time down there. Main reason why Chris and I went down there, you had three guys rehabbing at once from the Angels. We've been there a couple of times where there's one guy, maybe two, but it's the first time that I can remember where there was three separate guys rehabbing at Inland Empire 66ers for the Angels. Obviously, you had Max Stassi, who is on his way back from COVID. Same thing with Kurt Suzuki. Kurt Suzuki, I didn't mention, got activated for the Saturday-Sunday game playing Sunday. He felt like he didn't need a rehab stint or a rehab assignment, so he pretty much got right back into the motion, and he actually did pretty well on Sunday's game for sure. Almost getting a home run, got robbed by Christian Pache, the center fielder for the Oakland Athletics. But Max Stassi was there, Archie Bradley was there, and Jose Quijada was there. So normally what I thought going into this game and in my past experiences with rehabs, especially relievers, even starting pitchers too, they tend to try to get in early in the game, get their work in, get out before the crowds get too crazy or any of that stuff. There's been times where even if the reliever wants to get used to working out of a bullpen, he will go down to the bullpen, start warming up, let's say in the second or third inning, make an appearance in the third inning, and then be gone by the fifth. This time was a little bit different. It was actually really, really cool. We saw both pitchers and Stassi warm up with the team, stretch with the team, play catch with the team pregame. And then when the game happened, you had Max Stassi play the whole game, catch the whole game, which is the first time I've seen a position player play the whole game with the Inland Empire 66ers. Stassi ended up going 2-for-4 with a double and a monster home run that capped a 3-0 victory for the Inland Empire 66ers. He looked good. He did well behind the plate. No one tried to steal a base on him, so I'm guessing that's because they know who he is. And Archie Bradley came up first in the seventh inning, so these guys hung around the whole game, which I thought was really, really interesting and really cool. You know, they weren't just trying to get in and get out. They were actually, you know, talking with the guys, especially after they were done celebrating with the guys. But Archie Bradley comes into the dugout around the fifth inning, hangs out, talks with the guys, walks to the bullpen, starts getting ready, gets the top of the fifth inning, 1-2-3, puts in absolute work. He looks really good coming out. Archie Bradley ended up topping out at 95 miles per hour. He threw 10 pitches. 7 of them were strikes with a strikeout. So Jose would end up coming up in the next inning in the top of the eighth, and he had very good results as well. He topped out at 92, throwing 11 pitches, 8 of them strikes, and 2 strikeouts. So, other than that, both those guys, all they did was produce weak ground balls for the other outs. It wasn't like anyone squared up anything good on them. And when they're playing at the level they are now with, as far as with the low A affiliate and low A batters, that's exactly what you expect. Come in and just be dominant. Be, you know, big league players. And that's exactly what they did. They looked great. We'll see how much longer they will be there. They talked about possibly, well, Stassi played today, Sunday. He DH'd, just DH'd, didn't catch for the team. But the guys, the pitchers were talking about maybe 1 or 2 more outings. So I don't know if that means they're going to travel with the 66ers on Tuesday, their next game, to Lake Elsinore. Or maybe after today, after Sunday, after Monday, they feel like they're good and they don't need another rehab start. So that's something to be interesting to kind of look at for the next week or the front part of the week, when they're going to be making another rehab start, if they're going to make it another rehab start, and how quickly can they be activated after that. I believe once they are ready to go, they probably will be activated not too far after that. Stassi, I think, will probably be activated on Tuesday if I had my guess, because he looked like he was ready to go. He did very, very well when we saw him on Saturday. Cool moment. Again, we put it on our Twitter and our Instagram. Stassi hitting a home run. The guys all jumping around, having a good time. No cowboy hat, but Inland Empire definitely knows how to celebrate a home run. Another really cool part I saw for the game, it was actually post-game, after the game. Like I mentioned, all these guys hung around with the young guys, talked to them. You know, pitchers were talking pitches and kind of almost like mindset a little bit. But after the game in the locker room, when I was walking by the locker room leaving, you can hear Max and Archie kind of take the reins and address the whole team as a whole, and giving them, you know, like, it was motivational. It was, you know, hey, the big leagues isn't much different than this. Just have fun. Continue listening to your coaches develop. Like, it was really cool to kind of overhear that conversation they were having with the players. They ended up giving Max Stassi the Player of the Game award, and they seemed to have a really good kick out of it. The Angel players did with that. They, you know, they paid for dinner that night for the 66ers. It was just a really cool vibe that night. And even too, when Max Stassi hit a home run earlier in the game, Deshaun Knowles hit a home run to break the tie. You know, Archie Bradley stood out to me because I can hear him, and he was all about it. He was psyched too. I mean, these guys were all involved in the game. You think they wouldn't be involved. It doesn't matter to them whether they win or lose. It, you know, it doesn't go on their record at all, but they were actually involved and they were actually having a good time. to a point, they were out in the high five line after the game after the win, and that just showed how cool. And you know, a lot of people want to talk about the mindset of this locker room, how this locker room has changed for the Angels. Hopefully, stuff like this, where these guys go down to the minor leagues, can start that mindset down there, and it can grow through the system and grow through all the levels of the minor leagues to when they are at the major league level, they are able to contribute and already have that mindset. So that was really cool. And again, shout out to the 66ers for letting us tag along and hang out in the dugout and actually see all that stuff firsthand. It was really, really cool to even talk to some of the guys really quickly, you know, just how you feeling, how you doing, and just small stuff like that. It was awesome. Really, it was awesome. And we'll definitely, hopefully they bring out more guys to Inland Empire to rehab like they were doing like in 2018, 2019. If that's the fact, then we will be there. We'll try to get more and more interviews. This time was a little bit different because they actually stayed the whole game, so it was hard to get to talk to them after. But hopefully, as the season continues and if more guys rehab there, we will be able to talk to players as they do the work and work on getting their way back to the Angels. So let's talk about this quick two-game set against the Texas Rangers starting off May 24th. Both games are going to be at 6:38 as normal home games are. And on the mound on the very first game on Tuesday is going to be Noah Syndergaard against Dane Dunning. And if you remember last time Noah Syndergaard faced these Texas Rangers, he was unable to get out of the first inning. So I don't know about you guys, but I do feel like Noah is the type of guy to remember that kind of thing. And especially when it's only like a week later, to maybe hold a grudge kind of thing. And I expect him to come out and absolutely dominate this game. My biggest worry with that is, like we do with all the pitchers when they are super hyped, super excited, coming off a big victory or anything like that, is hopefully they're able to control their emotions and not grip the ball too tight, throw too hard, and get out of their rhythm. I truly believe if he's in his rhythm and he knows what he's doing and he can feel it, this game is going to be a quick one because he'll be able to pound the strike zone, get outs, get ground balls, get weak fly balls, maybe throw five strikeouts up there. But when Noah Syndergaard is on, at least this year, it's because he's been putting the ball in play. His defense has been picking him up. And he's been able to just let his defense do the work. He's not trying to strike out 12 or whatever. It's let my defense do the work and it'll all play out. So that's going to be on Tuesday's game. On Wednesday's night game, it's going to be Reed Detmers against Glenn Otto. And again, Detmers had the rough start after the no-hitter, which I expected, which I thought. It's just there's so much going into your mindset after the no-hitter. He even said after his game last week that he's glad that that's over, glad that he's able now to move on with all the eyes and pressure and everything following a no-hitter, the Pitcher of the Week award and all that stuff. It's great to get that. It's great to get that recognition and all that great stuff that comes with throwing a no-hitter. But I do expect him to have a very good outing, a bounce-back outing in this game against Texas. Again, two big bats that I really would watch out for, Corey Seager, Semien, even though Semien's still not doing great, but I still feel like he's the type of guy that can break a game open really quick. And you know about Corey Seager. He is all the time, watch out for this guy's bat. So we'll see how this plays out. They have, again, that's a two quick game series against the Texas Rangers home in Anaheim before the Angels take on the Toronto Blue Jays for a four game set. And that should be a really good test. And not only that, they go then fly to New York to face New York for three and Philadelphia for three. That is going to be a very, very good test for the Angels. The Yankees are red hot. Let's see how this team does against very good teams in other divisions. And, you know, the AOS has always kind of gave the Angels difficulties in years past, but it just seems like this year they're going to be able to kind of tidy that up. Can they continue playing good teams well in other divisions and other leagues and stuff like that? So one more item, I saw this, and this is from Sam Blum of obviously The Athletic, and this kind of shows that the Angels have had really hard times with the AL West, and hopefully things are turning around. Last year, The Angels were 4-15 against the A's. So far this year alone, they're 5-2. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come as far as the Angels playing teams in the AL West. Because if they can take care of their own, you know, quote-unquote backyard, a lot of good things will happen this season. So a little update real quick before I let you guys go. New York series, big series. I will be there in person. We are flying out. Me and my wife are flying out the 29th of May, that Sunday. So we will not be doing a podcast that night. But hopefully I will have something recorded from Saturday that will come out in a regular spot next week. But I'll talk a little bit more about that during the week, during the between the Texas and the Toronto series. But the New York series, you're going to want to follow us on our social media stuff. I'll be posting a lot more stuff there than probably like on a podcast, just because I'm probably not going to take the equipment with me to New York. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to post. I'm going to talk about it when I get back. But you're definitely going to want to follow us on our social media feeds, Halo_Haven on that, because I am very much looking forward to the New York trip. Hopefully going to get all three games in while we are in New York. Hopefully the weather cooperates. And if one of those games turns into a doubleheader, then I just might have to be at Angels or at Yankee Stadium all day. And I have no problems with that. So if you are a listener and you are headed to Yankee Stadium, or if you're a listener, maybe you are, you're in New York and listen and follow the Angels and are planning to go to the games, let me know. Hit me up. Let's meet up. If you're over 21, first beer's on me. Okay, so if you are a Angel fan going to Yankee Stadium from California, making that trek like I am, or maybe just a Northeastern Angel fan going to the game, let's meet up. Let's have a beer. Let's watch the Angels and the Yankees. If you remember the Yankee-Angel series last year, a lot of drama, a lot of rain, hoping for the drama, not the rain, but we'll see how that goes. So again, so that week, that Memorial Day week, is going to be a little bit different podcast scheduling wise, but this week should be pretty normal. So keep that in the back of your mind. We'll talk about it more. I'll talk about it more during the week. And again, follow us on social media, Halo_Haven. Getting a lot of positive feedback from you guys on there. Love hearing that either A, you just started listening to it and you enjoy it, or B, you've been listening for a while and you really like, you know, the last episode, or I agree with you in the last episode. Or honestly, too, even if you say, hey, I don't agree with this point, blah, 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 I am perfectly fine with that. I'm just glad that you're listening. So either way, it's good with me. Glad you're listening. I haven't said this in a little while, but please help spread the word of the podcast. This is, we do this all kind of by word of mouth. We post stuff on social media, but we don't, you know, buy posts. We don't boost posts or anything like that. We, you know, it's out there. It solely does depend on you guys helping us spread the word to friends or family members that are Angel fans. So if you can go, and if you're an Apple podcast user, if you can rate and review the podcast and help us pop up on more people's phones that aren't subscribed to us, that would be awesome, and that would help us out a lot. So if you're Apple users, go to the podcast page. There's a place, if you scroll down, it asks for a rating and asks for a review. 5 stars and write a review. Anything helps. And again, we're just trying to grow this podcast so fans can have a voice, or fans can kind of hear other fans' feedback. And again, if you guys have feedback, you can always reach out. Always reach out. Our DMs are always open at Halo_Haven on Twitter and on Instagram, or our email, allangelspodcast@gmail.com. So reach out. Always looking at how to make this thing better. We appreciate you guys, every single one. All the subscribers, all the listeners, old listeners, new listeners, everything. Coming up, I believe, on episode 300 is going to be our next episode, if I remember correctly, either the next episode or the one after that. But it's coming up quick. So 300 is a big number, and we wouldn't do it without you guys and the support you give us. So thank you a ton. So it's going to wrap up. I am your host, Daniel Garcia, and this has been another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.